To be better. Often in our lives, this involves comparisons. Maybe when you're going through school, or your career, or your work life. To be better, we're often held up to someone else, whether it comes to achievements or to accomplishments. Even within our, throughout our society, and even within our religions, it's about having an advantage over others often, or a superiority. A young Christian woman moved away from home, and there she joined a Christian congregation of a different denomination. She then went home to visit her family, and her longtime pastor came to visit and told her that if she continued to be part of this other Christian denomination, she would go to hell. So often when we talk about better, it's about superiority. Better than. When we read Paul, he addresses the traditional teachings of his day. And that emphasized that the Gentile was under the wrath of God. And the people of Israel, they could fall back onto the law. And by their practices of the law, they would gain God's favor. But Paul said, no. The law is not a shield. But rather, they too, the people of Israel, were under the wrath of God. Were they better? Paul would say, no. The intent of his writings emphasize how, and I enjoy how he says, we are to be silent. We are to be silent before God. The law is to cause every mouth to be silenced, he says. Silent to any personal claim of any personal righteousness of being better than. There's a story of the mouse and the elephant, and they were walking across the bridge. And as they approached the middle of the bridge, the mouse said to the elephant, "Feel how the bridge vibrates from our footsteps." We are to be silent of any personal claim of our attempts to act in accord with God. That we are good or right or proper or we meet any particular standard. For Paul writes, no one is justified on their own. No one finds goodness on their own. No one can conform to the highest of standards on their own. It cannot be attained. And so the law speaks of what is required. And by doing so, it makes us conscious of sinfulness. And we confess that we are sinners. Now, sin is not breaking the rules. It is not falling from any particular morality. But sin is a power. Sin is a power of corruption. It is a dynamic force that separates us from our relationship with God. It is that power that takes hold of us. A man decided that he was going to focus on his personal fitness, so he joined the gym. So one day he tried the new machine, And after an hour, he became sick. He said, "It's a good machine. It does everything. Kit Kats, Snickers, Milky Ways, Cheetos, chips." Sin is the power that corrupts. With sin, we do what sin likes. And therefore we are a slave to that power. It is a bondage to which we are never free throughout our life. But the law exposes our sin, our actions, our thoughts, our failures to act, our own self-interests. The law exposes a knowledge of sin, and it is as a sinner we stand before God, and we are to be silent. And so with this in mind, Paul writes, and he makes a transition, and he says, "But now." But now, God has intervened. There is a new revelation, a new situation, a new relationship. There is a righteousness that comes from God. There is the power of God that is given to us. And we are clothed in this new righteousness. It becomes ours. God makes good. God makes right. God makes our place within Jesus. In Christ is our relationship. It is a relationship established then for all who believe. That is the promise. And the evidence of that relationship is seen in faith. For God's power is a power that penetrates. And so then we are to listen. We are to learn. We are to obey. To not believe, to not trust, means that this new relationship, this new revelation, has no impact on our lives. A young child wrote expressing his relationship with God by saying, "To not believe in God is to be lonely. Because your parents can't go everywhere with you. Like camp. But God can. It's good to know God is around. When you're scared of the dark or can't swim very good, the big kids throw you in the deep water. But you shouldn't always think what God does for you. God put me here for a reason." To believe, then, is to be silent before God. And then to live out that relationship God has with us. To be of service to one another. And then perhaps fulfill this law. But to be clear, there is no distinction. Martin Luther sums it up by describing us as both sinner and saint. And we have received this gift of righteousness to believe in, to place our trust in. And this gift is to unify and to bring us together. And so it is not that we are to be better than others, just better. Amen.